Drive Time on RT Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Create a brighter future for your employees with Zurich Corporate Pensions. Trust excellence. Visit zurichcorporate.ie to learn more.
Now, as you heard there in the news headlines, a consultative forum on international security policy is set to take place next month across 4 days and three venues in Cork, Galway and Dublin. The Taoiseach, the Micheál Martin, was talking about the forum in the Dáil this afternoon. Here's a quick listen to what he had to say.
One of my key aims in convening this forum is to ensure that the conversations that we have in this country about our security policy choices are well informed and are based on fact and on evidence. Members of this House and indeed the wider public have different views about how Ireland should address the international security policy challenges that face us. Those differences are entirely legitimate. It is precisely because there are many valid policy options to consider that I have initiated this national conversation. I've said on multiple occasions, as has the Taoiseach, that the government is not prejudging the outcome of any of the discussions at the forum. There is no hidden agenda at play. Let's dispense early on with the notion that this is part of the latest secret plan by government to join NATO.
Well, not everyone agrees with the establishment of the forum. Joining us now to discuss this is Richard Boyd-Barrett, People Before Profit TD for Dunleary, and Senator Lisa Chambers of Fianna Fáil. And thank you both very much for joining us this evening. Richard, I might come to yourself first. And you heard there what the Taoiseach had to say in the Dáil today. This is not part of a secret plan to join NATO. Do you accept that?
Oh, it's definitely not a secret plan. It's a very, very blatant agenda that's being pursued to dismantle Irish neutrality. And of course, Micheál Martin was in the government in 2003 that allowed 2 million US troops through Shannon Airport to prosecute an absolutely brutal, unjustifiable war in Iraq, which was a flagrant breach of our neutrality. So that's his record. Fine Gael are long on record as saying that they really want to get rid of neutrality, producing documents on it to that effect. And since then, of course, we've got involved with the European battle groups, with PESCO. We've had NATO military commanders in Cork this week, naval commanders. We had NATO commanders in Cork before Christmas assessing our troops for interoperability with NATO. Irish officials and ministers have attended NATO-hosted meetings around the Ukraine conflict. So, I mean, the facts speak for themselves. And I think it's obvious that the government see what is an absolutely brutal and unjustifiable war in Ukraine, but as another opportunity, just like with Iraq, as another opportunity to pull us closer to the project of EU militarisation, which is inextricably linked to the expansion and ratcheting up of NATO militarisation.
Lisa Chambers?
Yeah, Sarah, there's a lot in that, and I'll try and go through some of the points that Richard has raised. So first of all, it's a consultative forum. It is not there to make binding decisions, but it will inform both the politicians and the public better about the security environment that we now find ourselves in, the challenges with that, and a better understanding of our politically neutral position, our military neutral position, which is distinct from other countries. So, you know, we do find ourselves in a different space to where we did a number of years ago. We could have relied on our geography, being an island nation. The type of threats that would have been present going back a number of decades are very different to the threats that we face today. And we need only point to the cyber attack on the HSE to point out that being an island isn't going to shield us from that new type of attack that we could see our country facing again at another time point in the future. This is not a secret or even a blatant plan to join NATO. That's not what it's about. It is a discussion about neutrality, but also about the triple lock and also about the broader policy areas of security and defence and our foreign policy. And it's a broad spectrum. So we will be engaging with lots of stakeholders, both ordinary citizens and experts, to hear from everybody. And as you mentioned, Sarah, it will take place over 4 days. There will be a forum in Cork, in Galway and two in Dublin. So plenty of opportunity for people to engage.
All right.
So I don't understand why there'll be opposition to having the forum. It is basically a national conversation and we should never be afraid of talking about these key issues. And just one final point, Sarah, that Richard raised about PESCO and battle groups. Sometimes those terms are thrown out, I think, to frighten people. They are training operations. We opt in when we choose to opt in. We are not mandated on any of those. I was defence spokesperson when we joined PESCO. It's been very good for Ireland. And it allows us, as a smaller member state, to work with other countries to share resources, to share knowledge, because particularly around cybersecurity, we cannot do that on our own. We need to work with other people.
And that is a point, Richard, that was made by the Taoiseach that all today as well, this idea that our geography makes it essential that we work in partnership with others, that autonomy when it comes to security just won't work for Ireland. Do you accept that point?
No, I don't. If it means cooperating with military powers that themselves have absolutely bloody records of brutal wars and military interventions around the world. And you see, that's the point. I mean, if anybody suggested that we should get involved in military exercises with the Russians, for example, or the Chinese, people would be rightly horrified. But yet, our government are saying we should be involved in military exercises with a military alliance dominated by the United States, the UK, France and other big military powers who have equally bloody records. I mean, the European, many of those states are shipping vast amounts of arms to Israel to use against the
and
Palestinians.
What military exercises is the government saying we should be involved in?
They are saying we should be part of the PESCO structured cooperation, which is directly interoperable and aligned with NATO. And even this week, we have NATO naval chiefs in this country as part of discussing cooperation, naval cooperation with NATO chiefs. We had another NATO chief.
Okay, yeah, you've mentioned that twice. So what's happening in Cork at the moment is there is it's called the Chiefs of European Navies Conference. It was last held in Ireland in 2001. It's an informal, independent and non-political forum. It includes the Chief of Navy of each European maritime nation. And the whole idea is to examine issues of common and mutual interest. And Ireland currently holds the presidency of the CHENS, as it's called, the CHENS Conference. I don't know if that's why it's being held here again, but like I said, it was last held in 2001. Now, are you saying that Ireland as a country shouldn't be part, and the Irish Navy shouldn't be part of a discussion like that with European navies to discuss issues of common and mutual interest, that we should just stay out of that?
Yes, we should be out of it if NATO is in any way involved, or if big powers that themselves have are involved in now supporting militarily or with arms regimes that are doing appalling things, that are engaged in war crimes, crimes against humanity, abuses of human rights, most notably the support the United States and Europe is giving to Israel, to what it's doing to the Palestinians, to the Saudi regime, what it's doing in Yemen. Why would we think it is okay to align with regimes that are supporting these appalling crimes? As I said, if anybody suggested we should sort of militarily cooperate with Russia, we'd be horrified. But why is it somehow okay to cooperate with military forces that have done equally horrendous things and are still doing them in many parts of the world?
Well, let's put that question to Lisa Chambers. And what's your response to that question, Lisa?
Yeah, like I'm not sure if Richard is calling military forces or military powers, you know, the UK or France or Germany. These are allies of ours. You know, France and Germany, obviously, within the European Union, the UK, our closest neighbour. We've always worked with these countries. This is nothing new in that. And, you know, Richard talks about NATO and cooperating or working with them. We are part of the NATO Partnership for Peace, and that we do link in and we do engage. Of course, so does Switzerland, by the way, who's a very famous neutral country. They also engage in the NATO Partnership for Peace. So this, again, is nothing new. It's unrelated to the topic we are discussing in terms of the consultative forum. And the idea behind this is that we have to, as a starting point, when we are addressing our own country's security needs, we have to look at the world as it is today, not the world as we would like it to be.
But some concerns raised, Lisa, about the idea of the consultative forum and the way it's set up. For example, Matt Carthy from Sinn Féin was saying that the appropriate forum for this type of discussion will be a citizens' assembly rather than what's been set up by the government, because he said those contributing will be appointed by government. Their contributions will lead to a report authored by the forum's chair, who has also been appointed by government. So is this being set up to get a desired answer, I wonder?
No, it's not, and I would absolutely reject that. The chair is absolutely independent. Louise Richardson, who's the former vice-chancellor of Oxford University and a very experienced and knowledgeable person in this space. The stakeholders that we'll be engaging with are not appointed by the government. They're working and are experts in this field, and we want to hear from them. And then ordinary citizens will be engaging. And it is worth pointing out, when we're talking about our current system that we have and the triple lock that we currently use, you know, that requires, if we want to go on peacekeeping missions, which we're all very proud of our unbroken service as a country on UN peacekeeping missions, we must not only get approval from the government, and the Dáil, absolutely correct, we also have to get a UN resolution which can be vetoed by Russia. So is Richard happy for our security policy and our actions in peacekeeping that that can be vetoed by Russia? Does Richard want to maintain that, or is he open to even discussing potentially changing that? And that's all we're looking for, is a conversation.
All right, Richard.
This. Bearing in mind, sorry, sir, that we've had no peacekeeping missions approved since 2014 because they're being vetoed by the Russians.
Richard?
Yeah, see, again, it's just interesting. Lisa doesn't at all mention the use of the veto by the United States on the same Security Council, when the United States and Britain very often consistently veto proposed sanctions on Israel for what it's doing on the Palestinians. She selectively picks on the Russian use of the veto.
Russians.
Now, I'm against the use of any veto by any of the big powers, and we need greater reform and democracy within the UN to weaken the powers of all the big five security powers.
But, well, sure, but in the absence of that, Richard, is there not an argument at this point? And I understand the point that you're making about the US veto in relation to Palestine and Israel, but when it comes to Ireland, because we can control what happens with us, should we not look at removing the triple lock for us so that we can make our own decisions that have been made by the Dáil, agreed by government and the Dáil, in terms of where we want to send peacekeeping missions? Does that not make sense?
Not if it is done in the context of us pulling closer to NATO-aligned military defence. And that is what's absolutely clearly happening. And I believe we need a genuinely independent foreign policy and... and one that is consistent.
I suppose, is that not the point, that we don't have a genuinely independent foreign policy if we can't make decisions ourselves as to where we want to send peacekeeping missions without being under threat of a veto?
No, I see. The one thing that the veto does, because it balances between the various major powers in the world and prevents us getting involved in conflicts where these major powers are fighting with each other. And the big danger in the world now is that big military blocs are ratcheting up military expenditure in a very, very alarming way. There's been huge increases in US, European military expenditure, Russian military expenditure, Chinese military expenditure. It is very obvious we are entering into a very dangerous phase where these big military powers are sidling up against one another, and we can see the horrible consequences that Ukraine, we saw it in Iraq, and I'm saying Ireland should not take sides, but should be a voice and use its very respected position of neutrality to be a voice for peace and for military de-escalation, not for military escalation.
Lisa?
There, we will always, as a country, because of the values that we hold dear in terms of protecting human rights, the rule of law and democracy, we will always have that position as being a voice for good and a voice for peace. But what I'm taking from Richard's comments, remarkably, is that he's quite happy for Russia to be able to veto our peacekeeping missions because the US or the UK can also veto missions. That's not a place we want to remain in. And I think that needs to be discussed and should be challenged. And yes, in an ideal world, we'd overhaul how the UN works. But we don't live in an ideal world. What you said, Sarah, is absolutely correct. We have control over our own foreign policy and how we choose, which path we choose to take. The forum that will take place will give us an opportunity to get all the facts on the table, to have an evidence-based conversation, not just fiction, not just ideology, but facts and evidence, and just chart out a path for Ireland and give options to our people as to what we can do differently if we want to do something differently. Okay. And yes, you're right. I single out Russia for the very simple reason that Russia have waged a war in Ukraine and there's war in Europe because of Russia. And I think it would make the Irish people deeply uncomfortable to know that they have that level of power over whether we send peacekeeping missions or not, given the pride we hold in having those missions and having our soldiers take part in them. So all I'm saying is a
couple of texts in on this.
Speaking
of the national conversation, a couple of texts just to add to that conversation. One person says, if joining NATO is inconsistent with people's principles, that's perfectly fine. But to declare ourselves neutral means we have to be capable of defending that neutrality, and we can't maintain our current state of being unable to defend ourselves. And Richard, actually lots of texts coming in along those lines. Another person saying Ireland is not equipped to defend ourselves. We can't protect our seas. Neutrality is a throwback to the De Valera era. That comes from Anna, another person. I wonder, would Richard think we should remain outside NATO if we shared a few hundred miles of a border with Russia? And that comes from Pat in Castlebar. So to all of those points, Richard, how would we protect ourselves if we were attacked by Russia at this point in time?
Sarah, I absolutely, honestly believe that the best protection that we have, and indeed that our troops who are on peacekeeping missions abroad have, is our precious reputation as a neutral country and as a country that established itself in opposition to war, particularly the First World
War.
There's
Russian ships in Irish waters.
There's also American troops in Shannon Airport, okay? And they are both a very serious danger. And of course, the Russian troops shouldn't be there, but neither should US troops be going through Shannon Airport to prosecute wars.
Well, I suppose if you're talking about our own security, I don't think anyone is concerned about US troops.
It does threaten our security. If we are involved in supporting the prosecution of war anywhere in the world, that fundamentally undermines our reputation as a neutral country. And that reputation, in my mind, very seriously protects our troops when they're abroad. Now, anybody who goes anywhere in the world, in the Middle East, Africa, knows that Ireland has a fantastic reputation because we are seen as a neutral country.
So our reputation of neutrality will protect us, in your view?
It certainly is the best way of protecting it, as against involving ourselves with the US, UK
dominated. Very quickly, Lisa, and we have to wrap. Very quickly, please.
Well, again, like I can point to the HSE cyber attack to say that's clearly not factually correct. And also to point out, we are now home, as a country, to 9 of the 10 biggest ICT firms in the world. We are a digital hub, global digital hub. This idea that we can put the head down and hope nobody notices us, those days are over. So let us have the conversation. Let's hear from other voices.
And then that is what's going to happen in the forum. All right, thank you both very much for joining us, Richard Boyd-Barrett and Lisa Chambers. You can let us know what you think, 51551.